Hey guys, this is your host, Mel Wallace. Today we're talking about choosing the right business for you. So when it comes to choosing a small business, all right, there are two types of entrepreneurs. Now, the first, well, of course, the first person is one who really is in love with the idea of starting a very specific business. Okay. Now, this person may be a gardener or someone that envisions opening a landscape company or a nursery, or maybe even a chef, right? A chef that has dreamed long, many years of owning his own or her own restaurant. Now, the other potential small business person is someone who also in love, right? But not with a specific business, but with the idea of bringing or being his or her own boss. So here's a thought. If you do what you love, will the money really follow? Right? That's the million-dollar question. I think we've all have heard people say, do what you love, you know, love what you do, right? But that's a saying, that's a cliche, and I think we all have heard it, but if you really break this down that, you know, do what you love, the money will follow, you know, this in itself, as you kind of listen to this, this is a noble statement, right? And it is possibly true, okay? I'm not going to say that it's not true, right? But there is more to small business success than simply doing what you love, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. Doing what you love indeed really needs to be your first prerequisite, you know, when choosing the right business. But it is just that. It's the first step. It's not the final step. So as we kind of break this down and we're talking or sharing with you today about choosing the right business for you, part of this discussion is really about how you can live with passion, right? So let's break this down, right? So what is it that you love? This is a question I want you just to ponder for a moment, right? Now, in life, we tend to succeed and perform well when we're engaged in something that we really, truly enjoy, okay? And of course, your business should be no different. Richard Branson, I think we all have heard of him, you know, the multi-billion dollar mogul, right? Now, here's a point I want to share with you that when he started Virgin Music, okay, because he thought that music would be hot, and of course he thought that music would really be kind of the big content creation mechanism, you know, in the 80s and 90s. This is what he envisioned. But in addition to that, he actually loved it. He loved music, right? And so the question is, you know, what about you? Okay. Now, by now, I think we all have probably taken a self-inventory and we all should know what excites us. You know, what it is that you love most, or as we've said in some previous episodes, what are your values? Okay. What are the things that you value most in your life? Right. But I want you to really think about this, you know, what you like to do, what it is, you know, what are your passions, you know, what is things that you like to do that you consider fun, right? How do you like to spend your time, okay? And the great journalist Barbara Walters, you know, in her book, she wrote a book a couple years ago, Making a Living Without a Job. If you haven't read it, it's a great read. But she talks about this in her book. It says that passion leads to purpose. Okay, passion leads to purpose. And once you get in touch with those things that you're most passionate about, you can begin to create a business of purpose around those things. Make sense? All right. So here's your first assignment. Here's your first assignment in understanding how to start a business, right, that's right for you. Okay, how to start a business that's right for you. So here's your first assignment. Number one, deciding which of your passions you love enough to start a business around. Okay, now remember, your business will become your baby, just like any baby, right? It'll require a lot of love. It'll require a lot of time. And guess what? It will require a lot of money. all right, and attention. And particularly if you really want this baby or this business to grow strong and healthy. Now, of those resources that you have right now, you know, you should be most concerned about is, you got it, right, is time, right? More than even money. You should be concerned about, do you have enough time to invest in getting your business idea off the ground? Now, your new business will take a lot of time. It'll take a lot of time to get started. It'll take a lot of time to grow it. It'll take a lot of time to run it, okay? So picking something that you love doing because you will spend a lot of time doing it, right, probably makes sense. Now, once you know what you love enough to do, right, to spend all day, every day doing it, all right, you need to figure out what business you could start that relates to that love. Okay, I'm going to say this again. Once you know what you love enough to spend all day doing, every day doing it, right, you need to figure out what business you could start that relates to that love. So let's say, for example, say that you love plants and gardening, right? And you decide that you want to spend every single day, every waking moment, doing something related to those things. All right, so let's talk about your choices, okay? Now, you could, for instance, right, start a nursery. You can open a flower shop. You can start a land care business. How about this one? You could grow organic vegetables. Maybe you're a vegan and you want to eat healthy, right? So you can even combine it into some type of dietary supplement business, right? You could buy a farm. And here's a great one. You could even start a winery, all right? All of these things are around the point or the fact of the thing that you love to do. So let me give you some start, run, grow inspiration, all right? So if you're stuck for a business idea that relates to your passion, in other words, you can't think of anything that's related to your passion, I know this may be kind of old-fashioned for a lot of us, but if you open the yellow pages, if you still have phone books, right, maybe you can go online and Google, right, certain things or under categories that you may be interested in. So, for example, you might be surprised to see how many different types of businesses other people have created around the same thing, okay? So that's a little start, run, grow inspiration on how to locate or identify a business idea on how to start something around what you love. Now, the other way to attack this, right, if you're looking for ideas, this is probably where you want to sit down and have one of those anything goes brainstorming sessions, right? Go for it. Write down every kooky, crazy idea that you have. There's no limits. There's no right. There's no wrong answers. Just write down information. Now, there are a few times in life, right, when the stars align themselves just so, and we have a chance not only for a fresh start, but for a fresh start that is completely of our own choosing. Usually, you know, money's tight when you really think about this. The opportunity passes or something else conspires to interfere with the brand new beginning, particularly of a small business. But if you're at the place, right, where you're listening to this podcast and you are sincerely ready to start your own business and you have the resources, you have the wherewithal to do so, and you can choose any business that you want, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to savor this moment because this indeed is a rare moment in time. Now, it's a good thing, right? It's good and both wise to let your mind roam, okay? It's also what they would call in the business setting, it's also shrewd, right? You know, and to even be smarter, if you want to look at it from a business perspective. But after you kind of go through this whole process of just kind of brainstorming and letting your mind wander about all the different options, all the possibilities, you got to come back down to earth, right? So instead of gardening, you know, doing what you love most in the 19th century, maybe a Flemish architecture, right? You know, and if you don't know what Flemish architecture is, Google it. It's a unique discipline of architecture, right? You could become a Flemish architecture consultant if you were in the 19th century, okay? This is a joke, all right? I don't want you to become a Flemish architecture consultant because that style of architecture has passed, all right? However, you know, let's just say, for example, let's say you have an affinity for Flemish architecturing, right? And though it would certainly scratch your Flemish architecture itch, but if you can't find people who are willing to pay for your Flemish architectural expertise or people who are willing to buy the product that you want to sell, then you actually do not have a business. You have a bust. Okay? So the point here, folks, is that we all have to be realistic, right? We have to make sure, number one, that there is a market for the product or services that you plan to offer. Now, assuming that you have decided to pick a business that is passionately practical, right? The last question, you know, to be answered is whether or not you'll be able to make sufficient profit from it, okay? Because remember, again, the reason we start these business ideas and really go after these things should be to make money, okay? You see, there's no sense to starting a business, however much you might love the idea or how great it makes you feel or it impacts your creative juices and all those things, right? If you will not be able to make a good living at it, you probably shouldn't start that business. One of the reasons we go into business, as I've already said, right, for ourselves, is the chance to make more money, okay? So here's the takeaway. Whatever the business is that you want to start, you want to make sure, particularly even if it's a product that you or service that you decide to sell, right? You want to make sure that you have the ability to sell it at a price that's high enough to make a profit, but low enough so that people can buy it, all right? And truth be told, it's not always easy to balance these things, okay? You know, so, I mean, think about it. When you go to the mall, right, there are so many stores, you know, in these expensive malls, you know, and a lot of times we've all read the headlines where a lot of these businesses that have been around for years, they go out of business, right? Because they had a great concept. They had a great concept at one point, you know, based upon the economy and all those things. But if their overhead is too high, making a profit is mathematically impossible, regardless of the passion. Okay? So before jumping into business, you have to sit down and crunch some numbers. Do your research, right? How much does a small business of this type take to get started, right? And how much money can you expect to make, right? How quickly can you make money in this type of business idea that you have, okay? It's something to think about. Here's something to consider. Too many new entrepreneurs fall in love with their idea and they convince themselves, right, that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay? Folks, do not make this mistake, all right? You have to be objective as much as possible, right? The thing that you want to be able to determine, you know, do other people like your idea? Now, I do mean other people that are not your relatives, that are not your loved ones, that are not your partners, that are not your grandmother, right? That's going to buy your product just because they love you and they're just trying to be nice, all right? You want to be able to ask independent people, right, about your product or about your service. Get their feedback. Crunch some of the numbers. Be a business person, okay? Be a business professional. Now, I get it. You know, we all have hunches. We have intuition. You know, we all have these things. I think a lot of people have gotten into cryptocurrency here, you know, in the last couple of years. And if you looked at the market in the last couple of days, man, it's taken a hit. Okay. I'm not saying it's a bad investment, but again, hunches and intuitions are great, but we need some more objective criteria before making the leap into the land of entrepreneurship. So let me give you a heads up, okay? This is a start, run, grow heads up. Maybe we'll start a new segment. We'll call it the heads up segment. The bad news about starting a business is that good ideas are not very hard to come by. That's right. You heard me right. Good ideas are not very hard to come by. Again, you know, every business you see when you drive down the street was once someone's beloved inspiration. But what did it take to turn that great idea into a successful business? How much time did they have to invest? How much effort? How much money did it take to get that business idea off the ground? And this is in your community, right? Now, I can almost bet you that the entrepreneur who started that thriving business on the corner probably had no idea how difficult it would be to turn his or her vision into a reality. So finding a good idea is just the beginning. As a matter of fact, finding the idea is actually the easy part. The trick is, right? Wait for it. The trick is, how are you going to become successful at implementing that idea? Here's a quote that I want to share with you from the great inventor, Mr. Thomas Edison. He said, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration or sweat," right? So that's true in business as it is in science. Not only must you come up with a good idea, but it must be a good enough idea that you can move on to, right? This is what you're looking for when we talk about finding the right business for you. So today, as you get in your car, you're driving down the street, I want you to look around. Look in your own community. Are there any businesses similar to the one that you want to create? Okay. Now, if there aren't, that may be giving you a heads up. All right. Maybe your idea is so cutting edge that no one else has thought of it. Really. Okay. And of course, innovative businesses, you know, have a chance to become market leaders. Think about it. Amazon.com was the first, right? Yahoo was the first. Post-it was the first. Pampers, yes, Pampers. They were the first in their industry. And of course, being first gives you something called the first mover's advantage. All right? And simply put, to explain this a little further, the first mover's advantage, you know, simply means that by being first, you have a chance to shape the marketplace. And of course, the potential profit from this business, you know, or these types of businesses can be enormous. It could just be gigantic, right? Now, here's the downside, right? The problem is, as you may already have surmised from this conversation, is that it usually takes a lot of money to successfully create. Thank you. And if you don't have the drive to do so, or the risk tolerance, or even the capital, then you would be best advised to follow and not lead. Right? Now, later on, once you have a little bit more experience and you have a little bit more money, then you can innovate all you want. Right? But the beginning of your small business journey may not be the place to go boldly where no entrepreneur has gone before.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a
now is probably the time to learn and not to lead. Now, considering choosing an idea that others have successfully implemented, right? It's not a bad thing. It's not always a negative, okay? So, for example, you want to consider maybe a previous example of the business that you're looking to start. You know, there are thousands, probably even millions of books wrote or written on how to start a florist shop or even a nursery, okay? There's PDFs. You can go to the internet and Google this information, right? Now, again, books have not been written on how to tap the Flemish architecture market, okay, if there is such a thing. But an advantage of being a follower instead of a leader is that you should be able to find plenty of information that can be of great help to you in your current market. If you're in the garden, for example, let's stay with this example, right? In the gardening example, besides books, you can go to SCORE, right? Which is it's the Service Corps of Retired Executives, right? And most communities or most cities have a SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, department where you can go and meet with some retired, you know, florist or some type of retired business professional to help you, right? You can even join a nursery association. You can read trade magazines. You can subscribe to blogs and posts for people that are considered the spokesperson or the personality or an entrepreneur in the florist industry, right? Now, none of these resources would be available to you if you chose to invest your efforts in an obscure, you know, of course, I have to be honest, you know, fascinating business or some type of cutting edge business in which you'll need to teach consumers about your goods or services, right? But it's most important. It's most important, therefore, that you choose a business that you're passionate about, but one that you can implement successfully.
I'd like to thank our sponsor, Exilium Community Development Corporation. But more importantly, we want to thank you, the listener. Check us out on our website at startrungrowpodcast.com or drop us a line at info@startrungrowpodcast.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on the platform of your choice. And until next time, always keep moving forward.